You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you very much. So help us, Spirit of God, to lay hold of the whole business of your saving grace. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in the light of the Sunday school time, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, if you would, then God, in his wonderful kindness, before anything, his design, his perfect plan and purpose to glorify himself. And doing so, God determined among himself, God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, determined to die on the cross before there was any angels, etc., we've said many times. So God, at the very, 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 very beginning of any creation that we know of, God, you did that. And you did that to die. So therefore, there has to be, we have to get past the angels to humans. And humans, you had to be a human to die on the cross before the foundation of the world. Therefore, God, you made us humans very special. We aren't angels. Angels are spirit beings. We are humans, made in the image and likeness of yourself. So God, you've made us so that we could know you in a very special way. You put in us, in your image and likeness, you put in us a soul and spirit so that we could know you and have a physical birth, which makes a spiritual birth possible. So God, here we are, and God, in your wonderful plan and purpose, you determined to come in born of the Virgin Mary, etc., to Bethlehem of Judea. And in doing so, God, having said all of those wonderful things, that you're going to come and you're going to be born in Bethlehem. We share together just that part of it anyway. You remember, you are born not as we are born. You were born, we don't call it, we send birthday cards. We don't send incarnation cards. We don't send them. No, we don't send incarnation cards. God, you were born incarnate. That means you took the human body, soul, and spirit, perfect man, and you clothed yourself with that body, soul, and spirit. You clothed yourself with the wonderful humanity that was prepared by way of the Virgin Mary, etc. And thus, you clothe yourself with that, so that you're very, very special, as we shared and illustrated his death on the cross and how all that comes together. Now, having said that, in the light of that, here in the Gospel of Luke, you made it very clear of the specialness of your incarnation, O Lord. And therefore, verse 35, now the angel answered and said unto her, Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And therefore, a very, very wonderful, unique birth, an incarnation, if you would. And therefore, God, you're going to become, God, you're going to become born, be born a baby in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, in the light of that, chapter 2, as we read, so in the light of that, we know that in this birth that it is rather predicted and special And here in chapter 2, picking up in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we have the birth at that very special time in that little town of Bethlehem, 6 or 7 miles from Jerusalem. And we have that birth. Now, in the process of having that birth, the birth takes place where the animals are kept, and in a manger, a stall, a crib, whatever, as you like. And thus it took place there. And the material to wrap the baby, newborn baby, was long linen bandages, and that's what the baby was wrapped in. So now, like a bandage, like you'd wrap a wound, as it were. And so now, having said that, and the announcement is very clear, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So everyone is going to be the beneficiary of that birth. Well, of course, because Christ died for the sin of the world. And Adam, as we shared, gets us in. So we're all out of Adam. And Christ, the last Adam, comes along and is born. And he brings to us his pardon, his saving grace, his forgiveness of sins by dying on the cross. So that God could make the promise to Abraham, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, and say it over and over and over again, over 300 times, that he's coming. And you could know what to look for, what to expect. So no surprises. And therefore, you're going to come, and he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And hang on to that. And in verse 10, for all people, and verse 11, For unto you is born, in the plural, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign, so we don't have to make a mistake. You shall find the babe, not, that isn't where babies normally are, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You will not find, that isn't the normal way, and so therefore it's very special for identification purposes, without any question. Now, add to that, if you would, over to the book of Philippians. And in the book of Philippians, picking up, if I can, in verse 2, Philippians, and in verse 2. And you will know, please, if I start in verse 5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form, a likeness of fashion, outward fashion, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God, being who he is God. But, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form, outward showing, of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was his whole purpose of coming. He had to die. That was the purpose of anyone being created. That's the purpose of Christmas. It's Christ. Christ had to die on the cross. He had to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. You can't die unless you're born. And he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And therefore, in the light of that, God is going to help us understand that he was just born. So when you see him, think of John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when we look at him, he's going to be a form of a human, flesh and blood. That's what he's going to be. In order to be flesh and blood, he had to be born to have flesh and blood, to be identified with us from start to finish in order to fit in as the last Adam, to be the Savior of everyone in Adam, to die for us. He had to do that. So now, having said that little bit, And keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, in the light of that. So remember now, he's a little in the little baby, as it were. And as a little baby, you have to start there, I guess. And you should start there. Now, so he, little baby is certainly, human babies are one of the most helpless of all of animal life, etc. And he was without, he's helpless. But he's omnipotent. But he's helpless. He put it aside in his perfect humanity as we shared together in Sunday school. So he's helpless. He has no words. Just noise, cry. And yet, he's the one that spoke and created the whole world in a moment of time, just like that. He spoke, and it was done. The little baby can't speak. The little baby is helpless. The little baby is totally dependent. Mary is going to be able to hold and care for the baby. And as she holds the baby holds all of creation. I hold the baby, and the baby is holding everything. Ah, wonder of wonders. Wow. God, why couldn't we have made this a little more spectacular event in a more spectacular way? No. No, not at all. Not at all. God said, I want to help you. If I showed you my greatness in a way that you want, you would never get saved. You would have no Savior. All you would have is condemnation. I had to come so that you could relate to me and that I could relate to you, so that I could know you and you could know me in a most marvelous way. So now, so here's the baby. Baby is wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped all up in swaddling clothes. And while you're thinking of it, you can hold your finger. Well, go over with me to Psalm 38. To Jeremiah. Job. There's several, 66 books. You're bound to hit the right one somewhere. Job, chapter 38. And just for interest's sake and comparison, Job is having a test, is given a test of 100 questions. And Job, can you answer any of them? No, that you flunked the test. That's right. Because the test involves God. It doesn't, it's bigger than you, Job, better than you, and it involves the magnificence of God. And you have to understand and look to God, Job, for answers. Because you aren't going to get it looking at yourself or at humans. Now, sliding Job 38, sliding down in verse 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou canst, hast understanding. Sliding down, verse 5, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy, the angels all excited about what was happening, as we shared. Verse 8, or who has shut up the sea with the doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? In other words, whoom, here comes all the water. And verse 9, and when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. Now, you're going to wrap the little baby in a cloth, in a manger, in a just old, little old cloth. And I want you to know, God wrapped the whole oceans in darkness. the God who wrapped the oceans in darkness in the beginning is wrapped in a cloth in a manger. Now hang on, because you got to say, I want you to just understand what God did. Why do it? Why do it this way? Because it has to be. Therefore, keeping in mind all of the helplessness and totally dependent and all of that, and wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so the seed of a woman, a little baby, has to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And in Galatians in chapter 4, picking up, please. In chapter 4, to go to verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Remember, a son is born, a child is given. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. God, you had her born, as we shared in Sunday school, made of a woman in a very, very special way. Now, so therefore, God, we're looking to you, and you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. And Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And while you're doing that, we do need to do that. It would help. Over to Romans chapter 5 again. God is going to be made born in Bethlehem. God predicted it. God said it. It had to be according to the law. And chapter 5 of Romans, picking up if I can. Now you know, I'll read it for the sake of repeating it, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So that's Adam gets us in, the Lord Jesus gets us out. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. They didn't do it the same as Adam, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure? He is the figure. He is the pattern. The word figure is a blow. Just think if you were going to take a stone or a piece of clay and you were to hit it with a better way. Think of the branding an animal. You take the branding, hot branding iron, and you make a blow and you impress it into the animal, and it leaves its mark. That's the word. The word figure, to leave a mark. Adam sets the stage for the last Adam, and therefore, in particular, when you come to the end of verse 14, Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that was to come. So you don't even have to guess. He's coming. It's all about Adam starting, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and Adam, this last Adam, coming to die on the cross, born in Bethlehem of Judea. It's all about that in a most wonderful way, a unique, wonderful relationship to God. And that relationship to God is to be exercised and understood and honored. So God, you made a wonderful promise. You made a wonderful, wonderful prediction, promise and prediction. And you went and fulfilled that promise and all of those promises and all of those predictions. You fulfilled them in the person of Jesus Christ, as we said, over 300 of them. Now, in the process, and all of it, and you said it over and over again so we didn't have to guess, that the scriptures must be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet saying, and then you'll say it over and over again, and it must be fulfilled. And then you said it about yourself, even before anything. Wow, that's right. Now, having said that, and keeping all of that in mind, so again, unbelief comes along, and unbelief comes, and we don't pay attention to what God said, how it was going to be. We don't pay attention to the signs. And we just keep rolling along in history, our humanity, going down the road hour after hour, month after month. We just keep going down the road. That's what we do. We didn't pay any attention to where we're going. We have a beginning and we have an ending. That's for sure. You bring nothing in, you'll take nothing out. So God, here we are going down that corridor, and in the light of that, the only sign you're going to give is the sign of the prophet Jonah. And that's why no one's going to believe. They don't want to believe in the process. And they pay little attention. So God, but you did it in a way that demands great attention. Because it's where we'd have to look for you. Where are we going to find you? The Israel, days of our Lord, had a problem. Because Jesus Christ said he was God. And God can't be a man with flesh and blood like us. That can't be a God, Messiah, the Christ. God, the infinite one. But he is. We were made in his image and likeness. We were made to know him and honor him. So God, here we are looking. They're looking, and they just don't believe. They didn't believe. They rejected and crucified him. That's what they did. But God said that had to be before anyone was ever created. It had to be. That was the whole point, as we shared. God, you're going to be God. You are a glorious person. The artist, the craftsman, the painter can only appreciate the work that he does. The rest of us can look at it, but we don't understand it like he does. God, no one can appreciate you like you can. God, you appreciate yourself being God, and you glorify yourself. And therefore, you start with angels, add humans to the list, and when you're all done, the reason all of it exists is that you could be glorified. And how are we going to find you at the center? And on the cross, crucified and risen again. Who was risen again? The God-man. The God-man. Which God-man? The one born in Bethlehem of Judea. The one that you had an awesome, awful trouble trying to understand and enjoy. It was too much, wasn't it? Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind about Israel and one other place that will help us, over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy and chapter 5 again. And picking up in thought, chapter 5, going if I can to verse 24. Remember, this is at Mount Sinai. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And he said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, we shall die. They didn't want to hear anymore. It was too awesome. Hang on to that. God, who he is awesome. And we have to remind ourselves, we don't understand that. He has no dimensions. Everything is in the middle of God. There is no beginning and end to God. God is awesome. He put 2 trillion, that they think, galaxies out there, 2 trillion, not stars, galaxies, out there that they think is out there. That's what they count somehow. And it's just a little speck in the middle of God. You have to understand, God's an awesome person, a wonderful person. It's too big for it, isn't it? It's too hard. God, you can't be like that. But he is. That's the trouble. So us little humans are down here trying to figure out, how can God be like that? Well, because he's God. That's why. Well, how are you going to help us? I'm going to become a baby so you can understand me. Now, and in the light of that, remember now, going back over, the Jewish people, the ones who should have known, they're the ones that had God's word. They had all these prophecies, all these predictions, all these promises, but they didn't pay attention to them. So when it comes along to Israel and to us humans, Israel paid little attention to Bethlehem. Oh, the reason even Herod got involved was because of the wise men. The wise men are looking for the king of the Jews who was born a little baby. The wise men are looking. They know what to look for. God told them. They were studying. They studied. Gentiles, they studied. Wow. But the Jewish people, no. He's right down the street, 6 miles away. There he is. But no, not at all. And as we shared together, in a stall, a little baby, too big, too much for people to believe. God, it can't be. It wouldn't make sense. We know you're a big God. The trouble is, we don't know how big. We're a big God. God, help us. How big are you, God? We have your God. We have your down measurements. Each one has our own little view of God and what he can be and can't be and do and won't do and when he'll do it. We have all of that. But God, you are something else. That's right. But we don't want to grab you and get a hold of that understanding because it's too awesome. And to boot on the other side of the coin. On the other side of the coin, you're too big. And in being too big, too much for us. And therefore, you're too ordinary. A baby. Now, what's a baby? A baby among hundreds of babies. And babies are cute. You know, and you go in the baby stalls out there in the hospital where they got all those babies parked or something, and you see the baby, a baby, a baby, baby, and they're cute. They look like Aunt Bess or something. And they all do that. We look at the babies. What's a baby? A baby's cute, and they're frank, and they're all of those things. But you don't think about babies. Actually, now, when you looked in a mirror last, did you see yourself as a baby? Did you? I bet you all have a baby picture somewhere, hidden away, don't you? A little baby. And you look at the baby picture, and that was you. Is that important to you now? Being a baby. No, the baby had to grow up. That's you. You look in the mirror and see yourself. You don't see a baby. The Lord Jesus Christ is a baby. And he becomes the man, Christ Jesus. See the man. The baby became a man. We were all once babies. But you don't see any of yourselves as a baby. You see yourself as you are. So looking at the babe in Bethlehem of Judea, do we see him as a baby? And we try to recognize God, but you never told us to run, get all excited about Bethlehem. You never told us that. You never said, the greatest sign I'm going to give them is a baby is going to be born in Bethlehem. But you don't give us that sign. It's an awesome sign that God, you in all of your infiniteness and creativity, you, God, who named all of the stars and hold all the stars in your hand and have trillions and trillions and trillions and all of it, and you hold you take the dust and weigh the dust in the balance, the dust of all of out there. God said, I weigh it. I could tell you how much it weighs. You ought to be excited. I became a baby. I became nothing as in your mind in order to become everything that you need. I have to have a body to go to the cross. Do you understand? I have to identify you in all of your fullness. That's why I was born of the Virgin Mary. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God caught in the light of it, in your light of the saving grace, God. And on the one hand, you're too big and too much for us. On the other hand, you're just a common baby. There's no way a common baby can be God. Can it be? Therefore, that's what we were. We were all little babies, physically born, in the image and likeness of God, in order that we might know Him and have spiritual birth. So babies grow and know, etc. Now, as the process, over to John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14. So God, have a real problem with a little baby. We don't mind having a little baby in a stall and remember. But to remember what it's about, it was about you doing that which you had to do before anything was ever created. You're the centerpiece, and you can't die unless you're born in Bethlehem of Judea. And it's you who are born in Bethlehem of Judea. Who is He? He's Christ the Lord. He's God in the flesh. But He can't say anything. But Mary's holding Him, totally helpless. He, God, omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, all at once. God, it's impossible. No, not at all. Not at all. Now, having said that, John chapter 14, remember now, when you look in the mirror, you just don't see, you see God, you see yourself. So, when you're looking, and therefore, if I can, in verse 7, if you had known Me, you should have known My Father also. And from henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So God, the little baby, is God in the flesh. That's right, a little baby. God, you humbled yourself in an awesome way to become and indwelt there in your perfect deity, in the perfect humanity of the baby. You brought the two together into a unique person called the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when we look, and the human mind looks, we look at the heavens, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth His handiwork. And so God, we look up and we look down. We see a little baby. But then we look and see all of the universe. And God will understand. Understand what? I had to die. I can't die. I'm God. But I can identify with you in Bethlehem of Judea, born of flesh and blood, just like you, only without sin. And I'm going to go and die for you. I'm going to pay the price, as we shared in Sunday school. My God, why hast thou forsaken Me? Why have you left Me? Why? In the deepest muck, deepest mire, deserted, abandoned. Why? And then we have that word again. God, you tell us. And you want to know why. What is the purpose? And then you read, God will tell us. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee, nor for what? Forsake thee. There's your word. Why have you forsaken me? So that I will never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. No. You did that. Why? It had to be. It had to be. How could we ever have a relationship to you? What's the sense of us being born on planet Earth? For you. That's the reason we're here. We aren't here to get a job, go to school, get married, and whatever else. It isn't that. It isn't the purpose. It's part of the outworking of things. But it's not the purpose. The purpose is to be able to know you, to go from a state of death to a state of life, to have a unique personal relationship to who you are in a most wonderful way. And therefore, the world, the surrounding world, the natural world, the man-made world, is not knowing. The world doesn't know. They have Christmas and joy and all of those things, and Merry Christmas and all of those, that those are better than other things. But, are you conscious of the fact that Christmas, you wouldn't exist. Christmas doesn't exist if Christ doesn't die on the cross. There is no Christmas. In fact, you don't exist. You would be never born on planet Earth if Christ didn't decide to die for you before anything ever was, including you. Now, so here's the world looking, and the world doesn't know. The world just doesn't know. We're very religious, and we do our philosophies and our programs and our everything. We do them, no question. We do them. And our physical birth, we have that. And our physical birth, we don't pay much attention to the stars, back to that, in the stars. Are you looking, when you look at the stars, how much do you look at the stars? When was the last time you laid in the grass, even if it's snowy, laid in the grass and studied, looked at the stars, even took your binoculars and tried to see them? When was the last time you looked up? We don't do it. And you know, something else. We just don't pay attention. That's what I'm trying to get at. We have a physical body. And all your systems are working right now. Wonderful systems, head to toe, keeping you alive. And we've shared it 500 times. And what do? Are you conscious of your system working? No, unless something happens. You get appendicitis or something. You won't know your body's working. You're all sitting there, comfy, calm, sleeping. I know that. But you aren't aware of your body. Are you aware of the sound in the room? The room is full of noise, sound, waves, electronic natural waves and man-made waves and television waves and smartphone waves and everything. Are you aware of that? I'm just trying to get us to see, remind us. We aren't aware. The things which are not seen are the real things. We try to look at things which are seen. We miss the things which aren't seen. We miss God, the invisible, infinite God. And we just plow along without thinking about anything. God and you sent a baby? Who cares? Who's thinking about a little baby? Well, not many. No. In the process, God, bigger. You're bigger. You're too big. That's like saying, you know, God, could you make a stone so big you couldn't lift it? And the answer is no. No. Wow. God? So hey, you're big. You're big. You're awful big. Yeah. So God said, listen, I'm going to help you. I made all these little things, stars, galaxies, all kinds of things. I made them. I made them like that so that you could, there's little things, but I want you to see they're little, but they're huge to you. And you they're beyond your comprehension. Because you see, I'm very big. And unless I become very small and become identified with you in such a way that you can know me, you can never know me. You couldn't even come close. I made it so you could know me personally. I know Jeanette. You awake, Jeanette? I know you are. I know Jeanette. I don't want to see a picture. I have a picture. There's a picture of you somewhere. I don't want a picture. I want the person. God, you're a person. I want to know you. That's what I want to do. That's why I became a baby. That's why I went to the cross. That's why I rose again, so that I could become part of your life. I became part of the Virgin Mary in a unique way, so that I could die on the cross for your sin. And now in my wonderful, wonderful grace and mercy, I want to become part of you. And God, you made us soul and spirit to be able to house you, to know you in a most unique way. That's awesome, God. I would never know if you weren't a baby, God, and weren't born, because I couldn't. And what did you just read? We just read it in John 14. The Lord Jesus said, you can touch me. I could hand you a cup of water. You could lay in my breast at supper, at the dinner, like John. You can know me. Judas, do you understand? No. But you guys are going to understand who I am. Thomas, do you know? No, not yet. Not really. Not really, but I'm going to tell you what. When I go to the cross and I'm crucified, and you're going to get all upset, and then I'm going to rise again. I told you I would. And then I'm going to come personally to present myself to over 500 of you, so that what? You'd know. The only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I'm going to do that. So, in the light of all of that, so in the light, and you're going to take in your wonderful infiniteness, and you're going to take the infinite, that's you, and you're going to take the finite, that's the universe. That's all the world around us, small, limited, little. You're going to take that and put yourself in the middle of it. You're going to take yourself and put yourself in the heart of the believing believer who's made of the dust of the ground. And you're going to take the dust and bring forth deity, a unique personal relationship to God. That's what you want us to have. A very personal. So now, having said that, so the infinite is brought into the finite so that we can enjoy and honor. Now, and people say all kinds of things about God, you know. 1 Corinthians, because it's very hard to grab the simplicity of all this and the wonderment of it. And it's very easy to see it. Little babies. We all, little babies are all over. The baby, wow. God said, listen, that's what you were. Now, chapter 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 1, I should say. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up if I can, in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks a Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And God, in your marvelous grace, in your marvelous grace and goodness, in your weakness, you didn't do anything in a way that would honor our pride. You caused us to be humbled and understand that we're just little babies that have become adults, that had the privilege of knowing you and honoring you. And that's an awesome thing, God. That's an awesome thing to know you, God. That's what Christmas is all about, to know you. So now, God, so therefore the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And sliding down, for we see your calling and brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, no. Not many, not many mighty, strong, no. Not many noble kings and potentates, no. But, God, you've chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God, you took nothing. You made it so what? We had to believe. We had to believe that when they looked at the little manger and swaddling clothes, and there you are, a little baby. God, you can't say anything. You can't do anything. And you're very dependent. Wow. I wonder if we'll change your diapers, God. Ah. God said, see, I want you to hear me. All you're going to hear is my little cry. And when you hear my cry, I am the one that spoke, and it all became real. But you didn't hear that, did you? But you will hear my little cry, and I'm the one that did it. The little baby that cries right now, I'm the one that made you and created you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm just a little baby. And then I'm going to cry on the cross. Father, forgive them. Continue. It is finished. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, so God, we're looking for your help. Where's your help going to be found? In your wonderful person. God, we're looking for hope, expectancy, anticipation as we go down the corridor of time. God, we think we're in command. We aren't in command. We haven't even hit the new year calendar and the time. But God, whether we do or whether we don't, that is known to you, but it certainly isn't known to us. We think a lot of things. We feel a lot of things. We hope a lot of things in and of ourselves. But God, we don't know. What we do need to know, God, is to know you as our Lord and Savior, to receive you into our heart, to be born again spiritually, to be born into a unique, wonderful relationship to you that no one in the Old Testament, no one in the tribulation, no one in the millennium will have in this day of grace, to know you in a most personal way, to be part of your wonderful body and person. That's what we're doing here today. To be part of that body. That's an awesome thing. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so therefore we're going to look to God to do what he does in a most wonderful way. God hears very well our little cry. God knows our thoughts, every one of them. God, do you know about us? Absolutely. Before you were ever created, God said, I knew you. I knew all about you. I have a wonderful plan and purpose for your life. I am that wonderful plan and purpose for your life. Because I was born in Bethlehem of Judea, you can be born again and know me as your Lord and Savior. God said, listen, it's an awesome thing that I do. Therefore, I want you to go. You are the designer. You are the planner. We are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, unto good works. And God, you made us for yourself. Mm-hmm, I did. I want to know you and honor you. That's why I became a little baby. That's why I died. That's why you're sitting here, to know that. That's what Christmas is. It's all about you, God. That's right. When it's all done, it's just you. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and deal with our heads and our hearts. That's all, God. Thank you very much, God. Honor yourself. Yeah, it's just about you. Nothing, no big spectacular anything. Just the awesome, awesome reality that you're able to go and save us to the uttermost. To be our God and Savior in a very real and profound way that shows itself in ordinary things, giving us an extraordinary way to live an ordinary life. God, thank you very, very much. God, we owe you. God, we owe you. In Christ's name, amen.